morning, everybody. It's been quite a busy 3 weeks, but we thank God for what he's done for Franschhoek and protected us, our houses, and the farms and the people. I just want to deal with you this morning, speak to you a little bit about the fire of the Holy Spirit. It's one word that's been on our lips the whole week, fire. But the fire of the Holy Ghost. And, you know, when they teach you about firefighting, the very first thing virtually that they teach you is the triangle of fire. That fire cannot exist. It has to have three elements. Must have fuel, must have oxygen, and must have heat. And if you take away any one of those three, then the fire will die. So the Spirit of the Lord sort of dealt with me about this. And I said, Lord, is there maybe a triangle that I could share in the church that's interdependent, that where the Holy Spirit fire works and operates? Now, I've been saved for 35 years by the grace of God. And, you know, in all honesty, it hasn't been 35 years of victory. It's been many years in the valley, many years in defeat, many years in victory. I've traveled to many countries of the world, and we've had hundreds of evangelistic campaigns. But in all of it, all the trials and all the tribulations, I must say this, that God has always been with us. That the Holy Spirit has always been present in the most obscure places. Where you think, listen, there's nothing here. The Holy Spirit arrives. I've been in tents preaching up to my ankles in mud. You know, you take offense and you feel like you want to go. You don't want to come and preach here. And at one point I thought in that campaign, now I'm going to go. This is crazy. You know, this is not a campaign. And the Spirit of God spoke to me and he said, who do you think you are? I am here. And immediately I repented and I said, Lord, I'm very sorry. And I brought the message that night. And you know, one of the biggest criminals in that area came to repentance in that tent, in that mud, that night. So God works when he wants, how he wants, as he pleases, through his Holy Spirit. So I want to deal with you in this 45 minutes, hour that we have, about the fire of the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to deal with you the first point, the first item, like the fuel, you know. And if you could turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. You know, when you prepare a sermon, you often wonder, Lord, is this from the Lord? And am I in the leading? And the pastor just confirmed my word. He smacked it right on the head, you know. So I thank God for that. And the first point in this triangle of Holy Spirit fire is Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 11. And the word of God says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12 and 13 is just as important, beloved, for the perfecting of the saints. That's why the fivefold ministry is there. To perfect the saints. The perfecting of the saints. It's important that we get this. For the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why God gives those five ministries, or amta. And then he says, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And beloved, the pastor said that in all churches and in all ministries, shofar at large, the fivefold ministry has to operate because it is driven by the Holy Spirit. It's not appointed by man. Your apostle, your prophets, your evangelists, your pastors and teachers are not man appointed. They are God ordained. That's how it should be. You know, you get in some places where, you know, they saps, you know, self-appointed pastors and self-appointed prophets. And but we are called by God. If you are in the ministry, you are called by God. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. But the call of God goes out from heaven, and he calls us. And if we respond to that call as these disciples, and we move forward, then we will progress to the point where people will start saying, but I can see in this person the qualities of a good teacher. I can see in this person the qualities of a good pastor. I can see in this individual the qualities of a prophet. And in the Bible, I just want to mention to you, spell prophet P-R-O-P-H-E-T, not P-R-O-F-I-T. And a lot of people get confused when we use the word prophet. They think, oh, you know. But, you know, you find that people then grow into the prophetic calling. The evangelist. You eventually, the drive, you can't stop it because the fire is burning. On Wednesday, when the fire came off the mountain, I was about 400 meters from that fire, and I said to my wife, I felt that I was looking into the gates of hell, the way those flames were burning. And, you know, God calls us, beloved, and when the fire of God burns, you can't stop it. Once God has earmarked you and put his mark on you, man, it's very difficult to turn away because the fire burns. The zeal is there. And your pastors and then your teachers. So that's the first sort of leg of this fire triangle of the Holy Spirit. The second one that I'd really would like to just deal with, and I'm touching on these and I'm going to get to the main scripture, is the second one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you could turn with me to the Bible, in the Bible, I'd appreciate it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's probably a very well-known scripture to you. But the second portion of this triangle of the fire of the Holy Spirit is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it's the title in the Bible is the gifts of the Spirit. But before I read it to you, there are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, beloved. And in my experience over the years of traveling to churches and being in different denominations, I find a lot of people that serve the Lord, they aren't aware of the gifts of the Spirit. And they are certainly not aware of the gifts that have been given to them by the Spirit of God. Which is sad because what we are doing is we are robbing ourselves and we are robbing the body of Christ. So it's of the utmost importance that you stand still and you say, Lord, what are my gifts? And yet again, if the Spirit of God has given you gifts, then those gifts will start coming to the front. It's something you cannot stop. The fire will burn and it will move and the gifts will appear. So I would read to you in 1 Corinthians 12 from verse 7 to verse 11. And this verse 7 is a word that I want to just bring out into the church. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Let's just stop in that verse there. For the year of 2018, I was in a mighty wrestling. And I spent time with the pastor and I discussed it with him. And I was talking about something that the Spirit of God put on my heart virtually for the whole of last year. And I won't get into that now, but what it's got to do with is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit, not only in our personal lives, but in the church, in the cell meetings, and in our homes. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in this church. I have no doubt about that. I've seen him and I've experienced him in the church. But the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, I haven't seen so much. But thank God that the church, the Lord is leading the church to a point. And I believe that we're going to see more and more and more the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit reveals himself in a way that you know this is the Spirit of God on that person or on that person or on that person. And it's the Spirit of God that is dealing with us now. The manifestation of God's Spirit is something really special. I've seen it over the year. I've seen people fall on their knees. I've seen them the weeping. I've seen them rejoice. I've heard them speaking in tongues loudly. I want to say something to you this morning. When the Spirit of God manifests on us, it's not a silent thing. There's a lot of noise. You know, in the old days, in the 70s, they used to have outside the church signs that said, Kerk Stilte, church silence. Now, if the Holy Spirit is in a church, it's everything but silent. If the Holy Spirit manifests itself or himself, it's everything but silent in that church. There's a lot of noise. There's shouting, there's praising. And in fact, outside, when the Holy Spirit fell on the apostles in the beginning, when it came on, fire was on, they said they were drunk. They said the place was on fire. The church was burning. Or the building was burning. And they were all drunk. That's what happened when the Spirit of God manifests in our lives. So I want to And after this year, when I spoke to the pastor and I told him about what God's been dealing me with, and he said, no, the Lord also showed him that we must work on the Holy Spirit. When we walked away, the Spirit of God said to me, tell him, call him, and tell him that I've been birthing this thing in your life. So I've been carrying it as a burden for this church for more than a year. And it hasn't been easy. It's been very difficult wrestling through the stuff and understanding what God is saying. But what I do believe is that God wants his fire to move in this church like it's never moved before, beloved. I believe that he wants to go on to the individuals. Tedig and on tedig. The one thing about the Holy Spirit I've learned over these years is that he's unpredictable. You cannot bring him to church in a box. He arrives when he wants. He arrives however he wants. And he does it however he chooses. Feel the anointing. So, verse 7. For the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. To every man. Every man. Every woman. And in Joel 2 it says, on your sons and your daughters as well. So every man, woman and child. To do what? To profit with all. Profit. There they spell it, P-R-O-F-I-T. It's to our benefit. It's to enrich us. It's to strengthen us. It's to teach us. It's to guide us. I want to tell you this morning. The anointing of God breaks the yoke, beloved. From verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. Now read verse 11. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. Severally. So the 9 gifts, that doesn't mean, okay, Lord, which is my one gift? God is a giver of gifts. But what thing I know about the Lord, he's a generous God. When you are saved, he might give you one gift. But if he sees, listen, but this person is faithful in this gift, I'm going to give him another gift. And once we work and operate with that gift, and it bears fruit, then God says, I'm going to give him another gift, or her another gift. And so we walk in the giftings of the Spirit of God. And it's of the utmost importance, beloved, because the Word of God teaches us, he says, if the Spirit that was in Christ, that rose him from the dead, dwells in us, we will also be risen on the last day. The same Spirit, the Spirit of God has to be in our midst. It has to be in our hearts and our lives. If we name the name of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God has to be with us. It cannot be any other way. So the 9 gifts are the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom we heard this morning. One of those gifts operating the word of wisdom. The word of knowledge. That's operating in the church. And we need to know as the body of Christ how to identify these various gifts and understand how they work and when they work. When they work. Right? My experience has taught me over the years that the gifts of the Lord can operate from the time you walk through the front door before you've even said good morning to anybody. If we are focused, if we understand it, and if we're open to it. I mean, I can do an exercise. I can ask you, how many times to the body of Christ, how many times has the Lord prompted you and said, listen, go talk to that brother. Go talk to that sister. Say this. Or go and give them 10 rand or 20 rand. Do that. How many times? Does he only do it when after the pastor's prayed and we've praised and worshiped and then only it works? If the Spirit of God's gifts are working, then they are working 24/7. 24/7. I get the Spirit of the Lord speak to me 12 o'clock in the mornings, early mornings. In my sleep, in the shower, in my car, walking to the post office, eating my food. The Spirit of God speaks to us, but the problem that we have found in the body of Jesus Christ, beloved, over the years, is that the disobedience, it waters, it kills this leg of the fire, the triangle of fire. You saw the choppers flying with these big water bombs, and they bomb the fire. And what are they doing? They're taking the heat out of the fire, which kills the fire. Disobedience basically bombs the Spirit of God, and it quenches the spirit. Bible says, quench not the spirit of God. So I want to ask you a question. I mean, I'm guilty of this. Who, sitting here where you felt the spirit of the Lord say something to you, and you didn't respond to it? You ignored it. Who's guilty of this? Put your hand up. I've been guilty. Every single one of us. Every one of us. And that is something for us to actually weep about. To weep about. In my ministry life, as God has prompted me to speak to people, you know, sometimes it's been the strangest of messages or the strangest of things. But when you do it, the other person gets such a reality and they rejoice and God gets the glory, beloved. The gifts have to operate in our lives. And if they're not operating, we need to stand still as Christians and say, Lord, I know I've got the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says that we cannot name the name of Jesus Christ and we cannot say Jesus is Lord but by the Spirit of God. So I accept that you have the Spirit of God in you. The Holy Spirit. But there's so much more. There's so much more. And He wants to give it to each and every one of us. And He wants to draw us closer. That these gifts can work. But it takes work to get the gifts developed. To understand and identify the gifts that God has given us. It takes effort. It takes work. It takes prayer. It takes discernment and understanding. If the Lord says to you, pray for someone. Oh Lord. That looks sick. Lord, someone else can pray. I don't have the gift of healing. It's exactly why He wants you to pray. He wants to heal the person so that you can discover that you've got the gift of healing. And by the way, God can give you the gift of healing just for those 5 minutes. When I was a young Christian, they said to me, go to hospital and pray for that woman. And I didn't profess for 1 second to be a man with the gift of healing. And I was very busy in my work and I was pretty, I wasn't upset, but I was just sort of like, I'll get it done. Okay, I went to the hospital. I walked into this lady's room in the hospital and she's sitting on the bed smoking. So immediately I thought, ugh. So I stood at the door. I didn't even go to her, you know, last guy. But I was a little bit in a hurry. So I just said, listen, they said I must come and pray for you. So she said, okay, fine. So she took a cigarette, do it. So I didn't touch her. I just stood by her. And I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'll heal this woman. And I left. That was that. The pastor phoned me about half an hour. He said, yes, a mighty miracle took place. I said, what happened? He said, no, there was stuff inside her. Yeah. And they said it burst. And it ran out the bottom. They said if it went any other way, she would have probably have died. Well, at Aung San at the hospital. Brothers, sisters. And there God healed her. I didn't even touch her. I was from the other way. She's sunny. That's how far away I was. I said, mag die Here jou genees. God wants to get the glory. And I want to tell you something. It's not you that heals. It's God that heals. It's the Holy Spirit that prompts. If we can just be obedient, we will see so many miracles. So many things will happen in our lives. I saw a man pulled from the clutches of death in Durban. The Lord said, we've got to pray for this guy. And I was a little bit more responsive. And I got there and I saw his specialist. He was in isolation ward, intensive care. And the specialist said to me, his brother was with me, and he said, listen, your brother has got 1% chance of living. My advice is going to make the funeral arrangements. We've done everything we can. Now, this man was a Hindu. Wasn't a Christian even. So I went into the bed and I stood over his bed like this next to his bed. And I put my hands out over his body. And as I placed my hands like this, I could discern all his Hindu rituals and his life. And I cried out to God and I said, Lord, the Bible says that God does not delight in the death of a sinner. I'm asking you to give this man another chance that he can get his life in order. This is all done by the unction of the Holy Spirit, people. Not by me, by my wisdom or anything. It's by the unction and by the leading of the Holy Ghost. I prayed for him. Nothing happened. I went home. And that night I dreamt that this man sat straight up in bed. The next day, he sat up in bed. And by the afternoon, they sent him home. 1% chance of living. If we can just be obedient, God can do the work. Third gift is faith. Then the gifts of healing. The working of miracles. The gift of prophecy. I just want to mention this. The gift of prophecy and the prophet, the office of the prophet, is two separate things. Okay? You might have the gift of prophecy, but that does not mean that you are an ordained prophet by God. Beloved, there's a big difference. Seven, the discerning of spirits. That's one gift that virtually every Christian gets when they get saved. And not necessarily the discerning of spirits, but discernment. Discernment. Onescheiden. They say to you, that man, hey, or that woman, there's something not right there. You go there, and you talk to them, and you walk in and say, to your wife, something's off. It's discernment. Just be careful that your discernment doesn't go over to hypocrisy and the ways of a Pharisee. Discernment there is to help us. Discernment is there to lift us up and edify us, give us wisdom and insight that we can pray and help. Discernment is definitely not given to us that we can gossip. And I've seen it in the past. I talk, these guys that have got strong discernment. No, he's busy with this and this and this. And he's right. But why don't repeat it? Take it to the Lord and pray and intercede for that brother or that sister. But the gifts of the Spirit is the second leg of this triangle. You take away the gifts, the Holy Spirit is minimized. It has to work. We need to, as a church, and as individuals, and Christians, and disciples, stand up and say, Lord, what are my gifts? What are my gifts? Discerning of spirits, diverse tongues, speaking in tongues, then interpretation of tongues. So the third one, so we've got the fivefold ministry, the gifts of the Spirit, and the third one is the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Please turn to that. Can somebody just stand and read it for me, please? Galatians chapter 5, I've got verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit. Somebody, sister? So the third part of this triangle is the fivefold ministry, the gifts of the Spirit, and the third one is the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And what needs to be noticed, dear beloved, in all three of these, it's all given by the Spirit of God. All of it is given to you. It's given. It's not earned. It's not skills that we have or possess if we were business people or lawyers. It's a gift that is given to us by God. And it's brought into our lives by the Holy Spirit. And the gifts are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Now, I don't know about you. Temperance is self-control, basically. I don't know how your fruits look now. You know, working in the vineyards, they're Bon Appetit and Grand Provence. You see the fruit, the grapes. You see some of the grapes are nice and juicy, bunches of grapes, and others are tiny. They almost look like raisins. They're so small. And I've learned so much working in the vineyards and seeing how this whole thing develops and the pruning and everything. But I want to ask you this morning, how does your fruit look? How does the love look? How does the joy look? I know I've been sort of low on, running low on joy the last couple of weeks. How does peace look? Long-suffering. Have you developed the ability to suffer long? Suffer long. I tell you, sorry that I'm sweaty like this, but it's been a rough time. Long-suffering. My wife has had cancer. Of the 30-odd years that I've been married, we've been married. She's had cancer for 26 years the first time. In the last 6 years, she's had it four times. And we think, by God's grace, I hope it's not, but we think it might be back. That's why she's not here this morning. She's had pain. 3 weeks, non-stop. And the suffering it brings in our home, the suffering it brings to her, to my children, to me. Do you know what it's like to see your wife in pain, bent over in pain? Do you know what it's like? You call and you say, God, when is this going to end? When is this going to come right? It's hard. But the fruit that it bears, you realize, Lord, that I can feel my fruit growing. You know, I feel that something's happening. My wife, in her side as well, she had, I don't even know what to say. Gentleness. The fruit of gentleness. Your wife's in pain. I must exercise gentleness towards her. How are you, my God? Can I make a tea? Can I make you some coffee? Please go lie down. Can I get you some tablets for pain? Be kind and gentle. I give her a hug to try to get her to calm down because the pain makes you tense. Meekness, faith, and then temperance. From the day I was saved until now, it's 35 years, self-control. I think most men battle with that one. Can I have an amen here? You know, self-control. And I was serving God for about 4 or 5 years. And only then one day did the word temperance pop out. And I said, what does this word mean? And I found out it was self-control. And I realized, yeah. I didn't even know that one existed. And then he started with self-control, brother. Keep your mouth closed. Don't get angry. You know, behave. Don't think, I don't even want to go down that road. Because it's like a road you can't turn around and come back on. If you go down there and talk, you're going to talk yourself. It's like painting yourself into a corner, you know, you can't get out. But self-control. But this is the three legs of this triangle, beloved. The fivefold ministry, the gifts of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit. And in this triangle, in the center, the Lord said to me, put the Word of God in the middle. I said, well, the Word, the Bible, yes, but also Jesus. The Bible says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And in this triangle of apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists operating, and in the thing of the gifts of the Spirit operating and the fruits of the Spirit operating in the church and in our lives, we have the Word of God. And for every occasion, there's a scripture. There's an applicable verse. So, the applicable verse for my sermon this morning that the Word of God gave forward is in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1. So now, we want the fire of the Holy Spirit to burn in our midst and to burn in our lives. How does it happen? If we sing louder, if we sing better, if we pray more, we come to church more often, we read our Bibles, we fast. How does it happen? The pastor said in his first sermon on the Holy Spirit, he said that holiness is a process. It's a process. From the minute we are saved. When I was saved, I was drinking and I was smoking. Anything that would burn, to be honest with you. But the minute I was saved, I still had the cigarettes in my pocket. And as I rode out of the church in Springs where I came to salvation, the first thing that left my body were the cigarettes. And I was throwing them out the window. The second thing that left my car was the Michael Jackson CD that I was playing on the way to church, Thriller. So there goes Michael. And I was hee-hee to the church. And I was coming out, praise God, and there goes Michael. There was another, Christopher, I don't know I'm giving away my age here, but Christopher going to church, seeing that song, Lady in Red, and enjoying myself coming out. And this stuff doesn't belong in my life anymore. And out the window it went in the dark. And so began my road of finding holiness. And I'd like to read the scripture to you. Having therefore, 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1, having therefore these promises, what promises? The promises of the fivefold ministry, the promises of the gifts of the Spirit, the promises of the fruits of the Spirit. Having these promises, dearly beloved, who's he talking to here? Who's he speaking to, dearly beloved? To the church. Speaking to the church. He says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Then he goes on. He says, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The very moment I gave my heart to the Lord, within a minute, like instantly, my whole heart filled with joy. My being filled with joy. So I believe in that moment the Holy Spirit came in, but I didn't know that there even was a Holy Spirit. I mean, it was so foreign to me. 3 days later, I was busy doing sin, and a voice said to me, hey, what are you doing? So I'm not. So I said, Lord, what does it look like I'm doing? You know, but afterwards I realized this is the Spirit of God that spoke to me. But I was so clueless, I didn't understand that God wanted me to depart from sin. And then, for the next 4 years, I spent, thank God for a mentor. Thank God for somebody that is willing to stand with you and help you if you're a young Christian. The questions that you have, the prayers that you need to pray, the repentance that has to take place. I grew up in a home where there was a lot of alcohol and cursing and swearing and lots of things carried on, and in a family. And when I came to the Lord, I was in the military as well. So through the military, after all that, I gave my heart to the Lord. So I came to the Lord full of sin. I'm not proud of it, but full of sin. And it started a cleansing process. That took time. It took about 4 to 5 years of cleansing myself. He says, yeah, let us cleanse ourselves. So how do we cleanse ourselves? And one of the things that God did for me was to say, listen, do you remember that girl that you went out with, your behavior? I thought, you're kidding me. Do you remember this one, your conduct? So I said, okay, but I thought I was forgiven. He said, yeah, but do you remember how you broke her heart? Do you remember the unhappiness of the parents? Do you remember the drinking? Do you remember the fighting with that guy? Do you remember this? And you know, I said, okay, Lord, I'll fix up my life. You read in the Bible, when the people came to John the Baptist to be baptized, the Bible says that they came doing what? Confessing their sins. What did Zacchaeus do? He went to Jesus and he said, what I stole from people, I've given back fourfold. Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. Beloved, I've traveled to many countries in this world and I've worked with many people from different religious denominations. The charismatics, the Pentecostals, even Roman Catholics. And each one has got a different way of looking at how to deal with sin and their past and the things that they've done wrong. I can only say this one in Afrikaans because it's a nice way of saying it. And the Bible says, God says, "Julle sonde het 'n skeidsmuur geword tussen my and you." Every time we commit a sin, every time I sin against my wife, if I don't have a good behavior, what I am doing, I'm laying a brick between her and me. And if I don't pay attention to what I'm doing, eventually I will build a wall between myself and my wife. If I don't treat the pastor right, I end up building a wall. Each offense is like a brick on the ground. One brick next to the other. And eventually, we don't understand where's the Holy Spirit. We say, where's the Spirit of God? Why isn't the Lord answering my prayer? It's because the wall is so high. And I spent, and God, through some miraculous way, I went to Stutterford's there by Eastgate. And, you know, the Lord, if he wants you to fix up your life, he wants that. And I can tell you from experience, the more you fix up your life, the closer you draw to God. The more you fix up your life, the more the Holy Spirit operates in your life. In the beginning,
The Spirit was with me. But I couldn't muddle through the spaghetti of sin and consequences. And God had to untangle everything. And that came about by sin confession and restitution. I went there to Eastgate, and this one girl, well, she was my girlfriend, used to be. And I was at the bottom of the escalator. And where would she be standing? At the top of the escalator. And I was stuck. It was either I had to jump over the side or run down the escalator going up. And she didn't move on. She stood on the top step. You know, you get off the escalator and you stand there. And she was standing and looking at the whole storm. And I thought, and I got to the top and I said, good afternoon. She says, oh. So I said, you know what? I just want to say something to you. I've given my heart to the Lord. And I want to apologize for my behavior when we went out. But I wasn't a dog. I mean, I didn't hit her and things like that. But I used to get drunk. I used to smoke dacha. I wasn't the best boyfriend, I think, you know. What a lacking manners those years are made up in good looks. Just coming out of the army, I was fit and lean and mean. But so you can get away with smoking dacha, drinking, and carrying her like an animal. But when I saw her, I said, you know, I want to say to you that I'm very sorry for my behavior. I've given my heart to the Lord, and I want to ask you today if you'll please forgive me for my sins, what I committed towards you. I'm sorry for hurting you. See, you know what she did? She looked at me, laughed at me, and turned around and walked away. So I said, well, Lord, that went well. And it started a process of, I would meet all these people from my past in the middle of nowhere. There was another girlfriend that I went out with. And I went to her work and I said, you know, I've given my heart to the Lord. And I've come to fix up my life with you, and I want to apologize for my behavior. You know what she did? She started screaming at the top of her voice. And she said, don't you dare prophesy to me. Don't you dare prophesy to me. Don't you dare prophesy to me. And she ran away screaming. So I said, Lord, are you sure you want me to do this? Then I was driving to Pongola from Pretoria. Now, if you've ever been on that road, it's in the middle of nowhere. You can almost say pits on the water. And just before I came to repentance, I lent my friend's little mini. And while I went out partying the night, they stole his mini. So in that party, I actually ended up in jail for the night to sleep it off. But in the morning, the mini was gone. And this guy held it against me very much. But after a few days, they found his mini, but it was minus the battery. They found the car, but the battery was gone. And I never, at that time, I didn't have a job. But a week after that, I came to repentance. And after about 2 years, I was on the way to Pongola, and I'm riding in a car for the job down to Pongola. And in my cabiol, I had a stack of money. And I'm riding along, and I see this guy. And I'm riding, and I see, from behind, I look familiar. So I go past him. I look, I say, it's the owner of the mini. In the middle of nowhere. So I said, pull over, pull over. So he pulls over there in the bush. So I take out the money. I said, you remember me? He looked at me and said, yes, I do. Not with joy, obviously. I said, look, man, I owe you money for this mini, for the mini that was stolen for your battery. He said, yes, you do. I said, how much? So he said, I'm not sure, but it was about this much. I said, okay, fine, I'll give you that. Are we okay now? He said, fine, you're forgiven, you can go. And there I went. And as I went to life, I went to all my aunties, all my uncles, because my behavior was totally unsettled. It was like a sinner. I needed salvation. And all my aunties, all my uncles, all my cousins, I made appointments. I sat with them. I said, listen, I'm sorry for my behavior. Please forgive me. And as I went through this process, so God started untying all the things in my life. So if the enemy would come and accuse me, I'd say, that's all done and dusted, it's gone. And beloved, I want to tell you, if you want to come closer to the Spirit of God, and what I'm in the habit of doing is, I will take a piece of paper and a pen, and I will sit down and I will write out the things that I feel the Spirit is saying to me, I must give attention to. And as he says, the filthiness of the flesh and of the Spirit. It's not just the drinking and the smoking and the partying and the fighting. It's got to do with things like swearing and dirty thoughts, bad attitudes, jealousy, resentment, unforgiveness, gossip. There's a never-ending list. And you'll be surprised, beloved. You'll be surprised that if you take the time and you sit before the Holy Spirit and you say, Lord, show me what I must deal with in my life. Show me, please. And you take a pen, and as that pops up in your heart, write it down. Scrape it there. Scrape it there. And when you've done your list, get somebody, your wife or the pastor, me, or a leader, and confess your heart out. Say, Lord, these are the sins I've committed. I want to ask you to forgive me and set me free and cut off this consequence. The thing about sin is, we think it's just something that I did. But I mean, if you're going out with a girl and you're living with another man's daughter, what you in effect is doing, you're hurting the father, you're hurting the mother, the parents, the whole thing. Sin is like when you throw a pebble in a pond. But my cracker just goes out. And I'm only until when you come to the Lord and the Lord brings it under your attention, do you realize the harm that you've caused? I'm talking to everybody that's lives wonderful lives, that's right. I know no one needs to make a list. But beloved, perfecting holiness, he says here, in the fear of God. In the fear of God. Understand something today. You cannot walk in the office of a prophet, a pastor, teacher, evangelist, an apostle. You cannot walk in that office if you are walking and living in sin. It cannot happen. The Lord will say, okay, fine, you're on a sabbatical. Sort yourself out first. You cannot walk in the gifts of the Spirit of God if you're living in sin. You need to pay attention to that because, you know, I know people don't like people talking like this from the pulpit, but I'm doing it out of love. I'm doing it so that the devil can be put in his place. And if the church wants to move forward into the Spirit of God, that the Holy Spirit can operate unfettered, we have to stand still and have a good look at our lives and say, listen, this is no more acceptable. You know? I'm going to say something, and I know I'll probably get stoned for this, but it's okay, I'm going to say it anyway. When I came to France, and I saw all the wine drinking, it was an issue for me, a big issue. My daughter, my oldest daughter said, Dad, you can't take the wine out of the wine. So, there's a saying that you don't walk where angels fear to tread. But I want to say this to you. Go to Groenland and ride through the streets there on payday, on a Friday, and on a Saturday, Christmas and New Year, and go and have a look at what's going on there. I go to Groenland every day of my life. And I tell you something, nowhere in the world that I've been do I see it like it's here. I don't want to be a hypocrite. When I first came, I had a glass of wine or two. And eventually the Lord spoke to me and he said, you are called to preach my word. Stay away from this stuff. So what I've done is I've made a covenant with the Lord. I said, Lord, I will never touch a drop of wine in this valley. And you want to know why? In protest for what's going on in Grindel. How do I go to a sinner and say, yeah, we need drink there? But me and myself, I'm thinking, how do I do that? You know? This is, the culture doesn't make something right. Our culture, beloved, is in heaven. We have the same culture as Jesus Christ. The same culture as the angels of God. We have the culture of heaven that is applicable to our lives. That is head office, not here. The culture here is irrelevant. We cannot sell out the culture, Pastor. So nothing to do with the culture. But anyway, be that as it may. And to soften what I just said, when I first came to the Lord, I had a girlfriend. And she wore heavy makeup. This is just to soften what I just said about the wine, that you understand where I'm coming from. She wore heavy makeup, so I'm saved now. So now the whole world must come to repentance. So the first thing I said to her, listen, I'm serving the Lord now. You can't wear this makeup like this. But, and so she went to her mother. And I'm not exaggerating if I said to her that her mother didn't take it well. Not at all. She didn't take it well at all. So the first thing she did was, I was in the church for 7 days. New guy, I was basically out of the world, but I still had a bit of a wild streak. And I said, stop this makeup, it's just, you can't do this, we're serving God now. Man. And her mother said, bless you, bless you. I said, he's Moolika. She found the moderator of the church. And I was in trouble, 7 days into the church, oh, they were on me, boy. And in the church on the Sunday morning, the prophet was prophesying. And to this day, I don't know if he heard it from the moderator or if he really heard it from the Lord. But the prophecy went like this, yay, but Astan, wie dink jy is jy? Dat jy die werk van die Heilige Geest wil doen. And I knew it was for me. He said, don't you know, it's the Holy Spirit who convicts. So, you know, that ended the relationship with that girl. And I saw her years later, and I tried to fix up with her there by Absa Bank in Pretoria, and she was still wearing makeup, probably more. I said, well, so I can see Alba. She said, no, finally forgiven. So please don't misunderstand me. I'm telling what God showed me and dealt with me in my life. You know, that if we want the Spirit of God to operate in the church, and I can tell you where the Spirit of God works at His best, is when we give Him the freedom to operate in the church at any time. Even while the pastor's opening in prayer, the prophecy should pop up out of your mouth and you should be saying, thus saith the Lord. Speak tongues, even in the singing. The Bible says in order, obviously. The move of the Spirit, the unction of the Holy Ghost. Spontaneous is the word. That's the thing, spontaneous. If we're spontaneous, it works. We seek the Lord, it works. But there's one place where I found that the Holy Spirit always works. And you might have heard it, but they say that on the wings of an airplane, the gospel aircraft, the one wing is called evangelism, and the other one is called missionary work. Have you ever heard that? Amen? Not? One wing of an airplane is called evangelism, the other one is called missionary work. If you want this plane to fly, one of our pastors in Oudtshoorn, he says, if you want this kite to fly, then this must happen. So if you want this plane to fly, and you want the Spirit of God to move, and I'm happy to hear what the pastor said, that the church is moving towards that. If you want the Spirit of God to move, then you must have evangelistic campaigns. You must have outreaches. You must have missionary work. And if you do that, the Spirit of God will always be there. When we're in the cell meetings, when we're in the church, when we're in the prayer meetings, that is the place where we should exercise our giftings. And I want to say to you, even if you feel the Lord's given me a word, give it out. Even if it's wrong, show me the prophet on this earth that's never made a mistake. I'm not saying that you must become a false prophet, but if you make a mistake, you make a mistake. That's how you learn, beloved. There's so much to say on this, and I just wish we could be tired and carry on. But there's so much to show, to share. But as we move closer to the Holy Spirit, we grow up in the faith and the Spirit of God moves in our lives. I'm going to start closing now. I don't know if you know Reverend Alice Stephen from Crossy Sabantu. I was there and he came to one of our tent meetings and preached at our tent. And he told us about the revival that Crossy Sabantu experienced. And he said it all started with seeking God and prayer. But he said it then came to the place where the people, in one accord, they started confessing their sins. He said they would take papers and write their sins down and cry out to God. Call out. Confess their sins. And after they did that for about a month, he said then the mighty rushing wind came and filled the place where they were. And the next day, he said outside of his house, 200 Sangomans stood and said, what must we do to be saved? 200. And that Aquela is Crossy Sabantu. 200. Tens of thousands of people came to repentance because a group of 20, 30 started to seek God and started to confess their sins. They said they would walk in the bush. People would come there that they've never been told of sin confession. They would walk and they would see their sins going in front of them like a movie screen. And they would come to the mission station weeping. I'm a sinner, what must I do? So the Beloved, while we rejoice in the Lord, while we want the Holy Spirit and we want more of the Holy Spirit, let us then cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, all filthiness of the Spirit. And in so doing, I can promise you that the Holy Spirit will draw closer. I can promise you that the gifts will operate more. Stand still. We just need to be honest. We just need to be honest with ourselves. We need to say, Lord, really. I want to almost say, enough's enough. Stop. Stop. Stop what you're doing. Contrary to what the world teaches us, I need a car, I need money, I need a house, I need furniture, I need a wife, I need a husband, I need a kid. We don't need all of that. What we need is Jesus. Trust me. That's all you need. Because out of that flows everything else. And we think if we get a nice car, then we arrive. We've got a nice house, then God bless us. No. Not at all. We need Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit. Five, 10 minutes. Just ask yourself, Lord, what are the things in my life? Just the one thing that I asked, and everybody put their hands up, is the disobedience. Disobedience. Just the disobedience alone is one thing, but it's a huge thing. The way I know the Holy Spirit, He tells you one thing, and if you're disobedient in that, He doesn't go on to the second thing. Do the first thing, and then He will tell you the second thing. So if you've got issues and things, go back to the place where the thing went wrong. Go back to that point. If your marriage isn't going so well, if your heart isn't feeling so good, things aren't working out, or the Holy Spirit is prompting you and saying, listen, so and so, this and that. I've had a struggle the last 2-3 months. I've been battling, really been struggling. I sat there in my car there at the Prosper the other day. A group of people walked past me and they were swearing the most vulgar language that you can imagine. There's a spirit of blasphemy in this valley. I'm swearing and cursing like you cannot imagine. That spirit operates in the atmosphere. The spirit of alcoholism, theft, robberies, dishonesty. All these things. Backchat. Not seeking God. And as a church, we want to kill this fire that Satan brings to burn in the valley and get all the Christians. We've got to deal with the stuff that we're going to go against ourselves first. Don't say to a guy, listen, don't smoke if you still smoke. You know, seek the Lord if you don't seek the Lord. Obey God. You don't read your Bible. You don't read your Bible. May God help us, beloved. I'm going to close with this thought. We just carry on as people. We carry on day by day. But we are in a time in this world where I honestly think we are coming to the end of days. If you look at the laws, I mean, we were shocked this last few weeks. These abortion laws that were passed in New York. Now they're passing abortion laws where the baby, after the baby, while the child is in the birth canal, they can abort the child. I mean, what have we become as a race? Mother Teresa said that when a nation starts killing its children, babies, that nation has lost its soul. More than ever before, you and I must choose. It's either God or the world. No more can you stand with one foot in the church and one foot in the world. We can't do that anymore. Because when Christ returns, we will be found to be on the wrong side. We have to take a strong stand for what is right according to the Word of God. We have to stand up and say, this is not allowed in God's Word.
As jy met jou vrou beklei, just leave it. After 30 years of marriage, I can tell you this. One pearl of wisdom that I've discovered. It takes two to fight. It took me 30 years to find it out. It takes two people to fight. Keep your mouth shut and step away. Right? Step away. I believe that the Holy Spirit, that God wants to give the Holy Spirit to this church in a much stronger way, in a much more profound way, where the gifts operate, where the manifestation of the Spirit is tangible, the anointing is tangible on us. Is there anybody here that maybe feels, Pastor, I've got some things in my life that are really bothering me? Could I ask you just to put your hand up? Put your hand up. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. If it's really bothering you, I'm not going to ask you to stand there. If things are bothering you, like really bothering you, just please put up your hands. Big things, small things, come. I can see people there doing this. Such a big word. God can't see it so low. The Lord wants to see it this morning. It's not for me. It's not for your neighbor. It's for the Spirit of God to be a witness. With your hand in the air today, there's my brother. We all have it. My hand's up. Trust me. I also have things that are bothering me. May the Lord see your hands this morning, beloved. May there come a release. May there come forgiveness this morning. May the Spirit of God change your heart, soften your heart. May He prepare the ground that He can pour out the anointing oil over your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Lord says to you, sister, that those who sow in tears will come reaping. Shouts of joy. The devil has attacked you from all sides. But God says, I put my mark on you. Hallelujah. I will cover you under my wings. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise His mighty name. Glory to the Lord. We thank God this morning, beloved, for everything that God has done for this church. And I tell you, the anointing is here. The Spirit of God is in this church. And He's here to lift you up and take the shackles off. Take the shackles off. Hallelujah. You sit in this church this morning, says the Lord, but you are desperate. You are desperate. Desperate. You sit here, but you're desperate. God says to you that I've seen your tears. I've heard your cries. Hallelujah. You sit here. Hallelujah. If the devil had his way, you would have been lying in the ground already. But God has given you a chance upon chance upon chance upon chance. Upon chance. Hallelujah. Chance upon chance. You should have been dead already, says the Lord. God says, I've given you one chance upon the next. Get your life in order with the Lord of hosts. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Lord wants this church to go to deeper waters. To take the Spirit of God more serious and to abhor that which is evil. I'm going to pour my oil and I'm going to pour my waters out in this church, says the Lord. And I'm going to lift people up. But prepare the way, says the Lord to you today. Prepare your hearts. Prepare your hearts. Prepare your lives. Hallelujah. Sister, it's the Lord your God that will be your husband. He will comfort you. And He will look after you. And He will show you the way. You call on me, says the Lord, and I will provide. Call on me, and I will open the doors to you, says the Lord of hosts. You just come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and you go home, and there's no change in your heart, says the Lord. This morning, humble your heart before the living God. humble your heart before the Holy Spirit this morning and let my Spirit come into your heart and show you what needs to be done. Brother, people have already spoken about you and mocked you behind your back. Tongues have wagged against you, but God says, I'm with you. Hallelujah. Stay by my feet. Hallelujah. Stay by my feet. Follow me. I'll surely help you. Pastor Richard, lead from the front. Take the church. God says to you this morning, don't be shy. Don't apologize about my word. Don't apologize about anything in my word. When you stand in front here, be bold like a lion and give my word like it was intended to be given. Apologize for nothing, says the Lord. And God says, call a spade a spade. If it's sin, call it sin. Call it on its name, says the Lord. And don't fear. Go forth with boldness, says the Lord of hosts to you. And you will see, I will add to this church. The devil has been trying to put a sconcer in the kerk, walls of resistance. But God says, I will remove it, and I will be a flood of people coming into this place. But prepare the nets. Prepare the hearts. Hallelujah. Be ready. Oh, I have called you, says God. I have called you. Hallelujah. Sister Blanche, you listened to the word of God this morning. You've spent many years supporting my body in this town. Many years that you've gone up and down and helped those that couldn't help themselves. And God says, I've seen you and I'm with you. And know this today, that your reward is surely in my hands in the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord says to you, rejoice in this one thing, that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sit here thinking, it would be better for me to take my life, says the Lord. God says to you, do that where you're going to open your eyes. The Spirit of God knows the thoughts and the hearts. Hallelujah. Sit here, you think, Black Sack was nog nooit gebore nie. God said, when I formed you in the womb, says, I knew you. Hallelujah. Stefan, die Heere sê vir jou, ek het jou diep uitgehaal. Jy en jou vroukie, jy staan mooi met jou voete op die rots. Die winde het gekom, en die water het gekom, en die storm het gekom. Maar God sê, omdat jy voete op die rots is, sal jou huis staande bly. Sê die Heere jou God vir jou in die dag. Die wende wat baai. Halleluja. Gaan sê vir jou vrou, die daar wonder sy, of die Heere haar raak sien in haar stilte. Maar God sê, sê vir, ek sien elke ding wat sy doen, elke ondankbare werkie wat sy doen, dit sien ek. En ek is besig om vir haar een loon in die ewigheid voor te berei. Laat sy volhard, laat sy besef, laat sy besef, dat sy skynder lig is vir baie mense, en baie mense kyk op na haar, en ja, nie meer die woord van die Heere, die kind wat jy dra, God sê vir jou, toe jy so oor haar gebid het, terwijl sy in jou binnenste was, God sê, ek sal my kind sien, en ek sal van een jong ouderdom af my gees op haar sit. En jy sal sien, as hy loop, haar voetspore, sal God by haar in hee. Want as hy so loop as hy jong meisiekind, die Heere sal by haar hee in elke tree wat sy vat. God sê, maar bring haar op in die vrese van die Heere en sy genog, een groot seën vir julle uitwerk. A big blessing for you and your husband. As we close the service, please just turn to one another and pray a blessing down on each other. Bless one another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless one another. En ek sien hierdie man. In die naam van die Here vanmôre.